You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Tuesday, 12 November, we've got local unemployment data due later this morning. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Pietie Redenhuis from Herenia Capital Advisors. So we got the Vodacom results. Messy. I mean, is there opportunity in this telco space, Vodacom versus MTN? Felicia Mziza, CEO of Robex. Strong results, increasing margins in some divisions. All in all, a really good set of numbers. And then Senzo Langa, Deputy CIO at Alex Forbes. Hedge funds, what's the appeal and how do you choose a manager? Perhaps that's the more important part. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb, using AI as a junior analyst. It's possible to put together a useful series of tools to help with your stock market research. Keith McLachlan walks through examples where he's using AI to analyze Anglo-American. Business day, soaring gold price boosts Harmony's first quarter cash flow, up 60% year on year. Improved figure thanks to higher prices and recovered grades. Morning markets, the US was mixed. We got the S&P up 0.1%, NASDAQ down 0.1%. Easter's mostly red, Sydney down 0.25%. Hong Kong is up 0.5%. Hong Kong down 1.5%. Tokyo up 0.5%. Tencent down 0.9%. Commodities, red. Gold, 2,629. Brent, 71.71. Platinum, 968. Palladium, 979. Rand, 17.94. Bitcoin, 87,800. Top 40 opening call, 650 points to the red. That is about 0.8% down.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
I'm chatting with Pietie Redenhuis from Herenia Capital Advisors. Pietie, appreciate the early morning time. Vodacom numbers out yesterday. I got to say, I got two thoughts. Firstly, very much like MTN numbers, i.e. Currencies hurting them. In the case of Vodacom, it's the Egyptian pound, which took a whole lot of shine off it. And my second thought is, yo, man, it is tough being a telco, and I'm not sure that there's a lot of growth here. Your thoughts on numbers, your thoughts on MTN and Vodacom?
Morning, Sai. Thank you for having me. I think something that we've spoken about years ago, actually, was how telcos eventually either turn into utilities or banks.
Yeah.
I think that transformation is well underway. Well, maybe that's a little early to say that. But, not a great set of results. I think that, they say a couple of really nice positive things in their results. Like, they've now... they cover over 500 million people. They have 205 million customers in a very large footprint. They've done, 7.4 trillion rands worth of M-Pesa payments payments or whatever. So their fintech business is doing really well. However, they operate in countries where there's things like hyperinflation and that type of stuff happening. And overall, it means that earnings is down, just shy of 20%, which is massive, right?
Yeah.
They do pay out a chunky dividend, though. I think the dividend cover ratio is something like 86%. So they pay out, a fairly decent sized dividend. But I don't think that shareholders are too happy with, defending a dividend in a company whose earnings are under pressure to the tune of 20%. That's a big move.
And I take your point around utilities, and that was always my view, except that they've got those massive CapEx spends. And on the banking front, heck, man, everybody wants to be a fintech these days. I mean, it's just, you've got your banks, you've got your supermarkets, you've got your telcos. I mean, the only folks not in fintech seems to be you and I.
Well, but wait, there's more. So I would like to announce that Arrhenius is pivoting. No, I'm kidding. So, yeah, I think what the advantage that the telcos have is just size and reach, right?
Yeah.
They can reach 205 million customers, which is very difficult for you and I to do. So that is a very big advantage that they have. But I don't know if, telcos, at least at this stage, provides a very strong investment case for me Relatively, you know, the sector is underperforming the top 40 index. Mm-hmm. And it seems as though, you know, I think companies like this go on this ever-growing machine sort of model where as long as they're adding new customers and increasing ARPU, you know, average rate per user, or average revenue per user, mm-hmm. that's very nice. But at some point, you run out of new people to add, right?
Yeah.
And it becomes an extremely competitive space between the likes of Vodacom and MTN. I don't see how smaller players in the industry or in the sector can really make it. Looking at you, Celci. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a very, very, very competitive space. And I think for now, you know, it's probably not the best investment, sort of, at least for me.
Yeah, I mean, both charts are looking ugly.
Yeah, they're both trending down, yeah. Right? So at some point, maybe, yes, the you know, the trend will change. But for now, it seems that what happened with some of these, well, particularly with Vodacom in this case, is that you've expanded into countries that aren't necessarily going to give you massive growth. Yes, you're going to add a lot of users, but at what cost? Every now and then, like you mentioned, the Egyptian pound, whatever, devaluates massively. Ethiopia's currency devaluates massively.
Yeah.
Nigeria freezes your assets. Like, it's not, I guess Africa's not for sissies, as they say. But at the same time, it's, you know, do you really want to be going into these countries and doing business there and adding millions of users and then going, well, all that investment we made there is just immediately evaporating and it's actually dragging down our earnings massively? I don't know if it's a strategy that I like.
Yeah, I take your point on that, and I do think. I mean, it's tough, and you know, they're utilities with massive capex and banking. Not easy either. We'll leave it there. Pixel Radenhurst, founder here in your Capital Advisors. That's our poll today, LinkedIn and a Twitter. Around those results, I mean, is there value in telcos? Certainly, Petri and I seem to think maybe not. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. Give you money, smoother returns for Stanlib Asset Management. The Stanlib Flexible Income Fund's agile investment process preserves and grows capital in all markets.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
I'm chatting with Felicia Mziza, CEO of Robex. We had results 6 months ending August. Revenue up 29.7%, HEPS up 49.8%, dividend up 49.2%. Felicia, appreciate the time. Robex, 50 years old. This is quite possibly the best set of results. It's a really strong performance for the first half of financial year 25.
Yes, Simon, we are very delighted for the results that we have released for the first 6 months. We believe that it's a strong set of results, and our shareholders should be very happy with these results.
And strong cash generation. I mean, is that part, you've got some margin increases. Has that been across the different divisions?
It has been across the four divisions. Obviously, our cash generated from operations increased by 110%. And this area, Simon, has been an area where management has been focusing on to make sure that we've got a strong cash generated from operations. So our operations, they've been quite strong from all four divisions. Yes.
You operate in Western Australia, but aside from that, locally, obviously, we had the election in, what, end of May, 29 May. Was there a noticeable, I don't know, almost slowdown in the lead up? And I'm thinking perhaps particularly sort of the division that are sort of more materials focused?
Look, there's been a positive sentiment post the elections in May. Mm-hmm. And we've actually seen that in terms of our construction materials side. I mean, they had a fantastic year. Yeah. They had a strong order book. In fact, they were executing some of the contracts that they have received in the previous year. So you will see the margins in that division that they performed very well. We've also been encouraged by the volumes of asphalt, our national asphalt company, and also Tosas from a bitumen point of view. So the construction materials division, from a volumes point of view, they have really performed well. We've also seen some positivity in our quarries, mm-hmm. particularly in the southern side where we've been supplying ballast to Transnet. So the sentiment in terms of the turnaround of some of the state-owned companies have been positive as well.
You mentioned bitumen there. As I understand, about three quarters of your bitumen is imported. How's that logistically going?
So that is going well. So about 75%, you're correct, Simon, is actually imports. So about 25% is what we have in the storage. So the supply, we don't have any concerns with the supply of bitumen. Mm-hmm. One thing that we are making sure of is whatever that we are actually importing, we focus on making sure that we've got quality bitumen. Mm. So there is a lot of processes that we've put in place to test the quality of the bitumen. But in terms of supply, there are no issues at all. We've got sufficient in storage in terms of execution of our projects. And remember, Tosas is not only supplying Robex, but also supplying the industry as a whole.
Yeah, absolutely. Supplying to the others as well. Roads and Earthworks, a good increase in operating margins here. Can you get those margins higher, or is this about where you can get them to?
Look, we're very happy with that 7.4% margins, Simon. The market indication was between 5 to 6%. Mm. So this division, they really focused on excellent execution. Hence, we've seen that improvement in the margin. It's quite difficult because, look, in terms of capacity, the industry is not full yet. Mm-hmm. So I'm not seeing an increase to double-digit margins in the next year or two, depending in terms of the pipeline of work when it's coming through. But if the market will be or the industry is full, then we might see a potential increase. But for now, the indication is still around the 7% in terms of the margins.
When we chatted 6 months ago, which would have been full year 24, there had been some issues with SANRAL. You'd said at the time that contracts were starting to come out again. You were going to be selective as what you bid for. I'm assuming, looking at the numbers, that the SANRAL process is working well.
Since the beginning of this financial year, 1st of March 2024, mm-hmm. we have received about 2.5 billion rands of work, various contracts from SANRAL. But remember, we spoke about the tenders which were cancelled in the past, which came back to the market. Obviously, we have tendered for those projects. So currently, we are waiting for significant awards from SANRAL's side. We understand that there's some processes that they've been working on, including their preferential procurement policy and some restructuring. So we believe they are done with that. So we are anticipating those awards in the next couple of months. So from an order book point of view, we can see a substantial increase.
Your infrastructure division is obviously a fair bit there happening in Western Australia, but you've had some Murraysburg in the Western Cape. You've also got Jeffreys Bay in the Eastern Cape. You're picking up some contracts locally as well, which is good for Robex, also good for our power supply.
Yes, remember our focus, Simon, we said in terms of renewables that we're going to look at private clients. Mm-hmm. That strategy has paid off, as you've just mentioned now. We've been able to secure about 2.4 billion rands of work, private renewables from wind farms and the other one in Eastern Cape. So we're quite positive about that. But also in Western Australia, we've been focusing on some of the renewable projects, which is very good in terms of the margins that we have delivered in Western Australia.
Your materials handling, mining, a lot of that is chrome, but of course you work for others as well. Upgrades to the Cookfontein and the line I pulled out commenced with construction of a PGM plant. Commission date, first half of 2026. You're going to be doing some PGMs as well?
Yes, definitely. As we indicated in the previous reporting periods, mm-hmm. management has been focusing in terms of making sure that we improve the productions at both mines, Kookfontein and Moeijelijk. So for Kookfontein, the slight decrease in terms of margins, it has been because of the increased costs through, you know, processing run of mine.
Yeah.
And also we've experienced some lower production grades as well. So the main reason, Simon, was that, you know, the processing plant was still in a ramp-up phase. Ah. But since July, we have actually seen mm-hmm. an improvement, and we're comfortable as management that we should be able to get to where we need to. In terms of the other mine, the underground mine, Moeijelijk, at the beginning of the year, we actually changed contractors just to make sure that we get the right productions and the safety levels is underway. Unfortunately, that change took a bit of time than we mm-hmm. anticipated. But again, it's an area of management focus, and we believe that that is turning around.
Well, leave it there. That's Felicia Mzisa, CEO of Robex. Appreciate the time today.
Let your money weather the storms with Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in the Stanlib Global Select Fund, a diversified all-weather equity portfolio submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting with Senzo Langa, he's Deputy CIO at Alex Forbes. Senzo, appreciate the time today. Hedge funds, lots of benefits to them. Perhaps one of the key benefits really is the ability to diversify, but also the ability to take short positions in markets, which really is at the sort of heart of what a hedge fund, the name implies.
Yes, Simon, thank you for having me. Great to be here. The reality is that hedge funds are misunderstood. Mm-hmm. But the time where you really need them is when the market is in need of the direction where there's a lot of uncertainty. There is what you call driving the market. So you don't want hedge funds in an environment where it's like a rally, where the assets are up more than 20-30%. You need them where you will have a situation where you can benefit from the shares that are going down, which is what you alluded to, where the shorting is a very important aspect of the hedge funds. And that's where a lot of returns are generated, when the market has a bit of drawdowns or the market is sideways, in a sense, because that's where the returns are generated, in a sense.
Absolutely. And I take your point. I mean, they're great for uncertain times. They're great for volatile times. And in truth, what they can do is help remove some of that volatility from their performance.
Exactly that. It's important. Of late, as you'll appreciate, the market is very punitive on the companies that miss their earnings. So if a hedge fund manager as their fundamental view where that company is going to miss their earnings and it's down 10%, already adding a lot of value into your portfolio. And in our funds, where over the past decade or 10 years I've been involved, we've been sort of generating on average 10 to 15% depending on the fund in question on hedge funds. And it's very important, consistent source of returns. You must think about it in that sense, that you will always sort of be generating consistent absolute returns from that point of view.
Yeah, and that's a good point. The absolute is the important point. You said they're often misunderstood. One of the things is fees. And back in the day, hedge funds were viewed as very expensive. That, I mean, I'm sure there are some expensive ones out there, but that's no longer the case.
It's no longer the case. They are very much negotiable. But remember, it's bang for buck. Those who are expensive and don't generate the enough returns, they usually go out of business. Most of the hedge funds that we have seen over the years is that even though when you negotiate with them on the fees, they're quite open to it, but there's the what's called performance fees that they generate as well. So if you have a good hedge funds manager, which where we come through in terms of manager selection, we are big as a multi-manager. We are big on that. So you just need to do your homework and make sure that the manager that you are actually going to appoint is the manager that will deliver the goods and generate the returns after fee, because this 10 to 15% that I'm talking to, it's net of fees. So it's not just gross of fees, yes.
And that manager selection is important because, of course, it's not just the managers. There will be, I imagine, different unique styles, strategies, expertise that sit within that management team.
Yes. So in South Africa, it's not really a big market. A lot of our managers are on the equity side. So how we sort of look at it is that we'll have the market neutral guys, where the net sort of exposure will be between 0 and 20%. And then the next guys will be the long shorts between 20 and 40. But just to make sure that everybody understands, there are some hedge fund managers that can go up to 100% net position, which means that you allow competing with the JSE or share. And we've seen sort of that sort of profile as well. But our role is to make sure that we assess the manager's ability to generate sort of ideas, portfolio construction, risk management, and also the business aspect, because you want the consistency of the track record and the people must be there even in the future as well.
That's a great point. It's consistency. Yes. It's engaging with management and it's understanding, you make a great point there, that the great manager is still going to be there in 1, 3, 5 years' time generating that performance.
Exactly. That's a very important part of our process. We spend about 3 to 4 hours with these managers understanding them on our due diligence. Maybe we do it 2 or 3 times before you actually invest with the managers, because one of the most important things is the performance repeatable, because one of the sort of risks that you take from an investor is to buy a hedge fund that has been delivering 20% per annum over the past sort of 5 years, but the people are no longer there. So we just make sure that from our point of view, that all those boxes are ticked. So it's important to actually invest your time and make sure that the guys are actually there for the future as well.
I like that. Is that performance repeatable? I think far too often yes. We don't put enough emphasis on that repeatability of that performance. We'll leave it there. That's Senzo Langa, Deputy Chief Investment Officer, Alex Forbes. Appreciate the time. And that's it for today. We're chatting with Riza Hendricks yesterday from PPS Investment. Local returns. Bonds had outperformed equity, which is crazy when you think about it. There should be a premium for the risk on equity. Although, as we observed in the interview, foreigners have been buying our bonds, not yet our equity. We ask you, can bonds continue to do better than equity? Half said, nope, time for shares. A third said, maybe inflation is not yet over. The rest said, yes, there is still great value there. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website's in the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nubuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Premier Group results.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.